Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Well, for this film, it's basically an extension of the bucket list. When we were doing the press junket for Bucket List, everybody, the reporters would always ask us, what's on your bucket list, you know? And whenever they asked Jack Nicholson, he would say, one more great romance. Mm-hmm. And that gave us the idea for this film. But essentially, it's an extension of all of the, you know, I've done a number of romantic comedies over the years, and, you know, whether it's 12-year-olds in Flipped or college kids in The Sure Thing or young adults in When Harry Met Sally or now older adults in And So It Goes, it's essentially the same story I'm telling.
Yeah.
It's this dance that men and women do with each other, and the way I've observed it is that women are essentially more evolved than men. They're more emotionally mature, they know what they want, they're more connected to their feelings. And they basically wait till the men start to grow up, you know, and the men run around like idiots trying to figure out what they're doing until they realize what they want and what's important in life is right there in front of them.
I'm glad you brought up bucket list because I was thinking, I saw it the other day and thought about how that phrase has, since your movie, has become part of the nomenclature of the world.
Yeah, I know. What's fascinating about that is that people think that that was a phrase before we had the movie. They think that that's always been around, and it was made up for the movie, and now it's become part of the vernacular.
Yeah. What's it like working with these two? I mean, you've worked with some of the greats. Is there a commonality of working with people like that?
As a director, you're gifted when you get to work with these two gifts. I mean, they are, you know, icons. They are great actors, Academy Award winners. And I'd worked with Michael before, so I knew, that was going to be a great experience, and it was again. Never worked with Diane and always wanted to. I'd always admired her for so many years. I found works the same way I do, and she's very instinctive. But it's a pleasure. When you get two great actors as a director, it's like the greatest gift you can have.
And what a random little cameo from Frankie Valli.
Yes.
With the Jersey Boys movie.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's just opening this weekend. It's on our mind.
That's just happenstance because, Frankie's agent called me and said, is there a part in there for him? And I thought, this is a great part. And so we put him in. And Diane, who, when she's doing a scene, is very focused on what she has to do. And she's auditioning at a nightclub that's owned by Frankie Valli. And Frankie and Michael Douglas were way in the background. So Diane couldn't really see. She kind of knew through they were back there, but she didn't really see. And I'm the pianist. You know, I play the guy who's accompanying her.
Right. With the best wig ever, by the way.
Well, it's undetectable, isn't it?
I think it may have been one of your dad's old Alan Brady wigs.
I don't think it is that good. it's basically we found a dead cat
It was roadkill. We put it up there.
Yeah. But anyway, we're starting the scene, and Diane's about to sing, you know, to audition. And I say to Diane, I said, how do you feel? You know, you're going to now have to be singing in front of Frankie Valli. And she said, Frankie Valli? Where's Frankie Valli? She had no idea that he was in the movie.
That's
He was in the background, didn't know. And so she got nervous.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I was watching a clip of you and your dad on Tavis Smiley's show.
Right.
And just as we're starting this interview today, you tell me this is the first time that you've sat for an interview with your dad.
Yes.
That's so hard to imagine.
I know. And it didn't hit me until after we finished the show. It's like a half an hour show. We're finished. We're walking up, and I realized that, we've done tons of talk shows separately, but we had never done one together.
Yeah. What was that? I mean, it didn't occur to you, so I guess it wasn't like a momentous
thing. No, because, we were together a lot. We're talking, and people are talking to us and stuff. And so it never occurred to me that we hadn't done it on camera. But it was nice. We had a good time.
Yeah. Well, it looked like it, and it looked like there was a nice chemistry. And what I think I took out of it most was how you must have been, the director and actor that you've become must have been so affected by the environment that he created for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I wanted, to be him. I mean, I was so enamored of what he did. He would let me come to the Van Dyke show when I was a teenager every summer. I'd spend every day down there watching him work. And so, yeah, I learned, you know, virtually everything I know I got from how he behaved. And my mother tells this story, used to tell the story. I didn't know, but she told me about it. She said, when I was 8 years old, I came to her and I said, you know, Mom, I want to change my name. And she thought, oh, this poor kid, you know, he has to live up to, you know, right. Carl Reiner, live in the shadow and all this stuff. And she said, what do you want to change your name to? And I said, Carl. Basically, I wanted to be him. I loved it. So I loved him so much.
Your dad was right. You were funny and smart back then, even when you were a little kid. Yeah. One of our sister stations is Antenna TV that we operate that runs All in the Family. So in our office every day, we're seeing some of the classics.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how those hold up so well, how powerful and poignant and hilarious, of course. But
well, the same things. I mean, same things we talked about, the same social and political issues that we discussed in those days are still going on. And we're still a very divided nation. There's still a lot of polarity. And it's still very applicable.
Do you feel like that show, in addition to being great entertainment, helped change America? I was talking with Eric Stone Street from Modern Family the other day about how that show, through its entertainment, changed, I think, the way, and Will and Grace, changed the way America looks at same-sex marriage now. And I think that All in the Family changed the way we thought about politics and race.
I think it all has an effect. I mean, you know, we're not going to take credit for, you know, race relations or, you know, anything like that. But the point is, you're part of the dialogue. And when you talked about same-sex marriage, I mean, and acceptance of homosexuality, I think we were the first show ever to really deal with that subject. And I think it was like the fourth episode that we ever did. So it's you know, and Ellen coming out on television, I mean, all of these things have you know, an accumulative effect, and certainly the power of television.
Is there a day that goes by when someone doesn't say, hey, meathead?
No, someone, by the way, you're the first person today,
is that right,
to say that? No,
honored.
You know, I've made the joke many years ago about how I no matter what I do in my life, I could win the Nobel Prize, it would say meathead wins Nobel.
That would be fantastic if that happened.